Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
KFNC Mount Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
For those of you on the stream, well, not the stream, but if you're on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, you can't hear the song because we're not allowed to let you hear the song. But for those listening to us traditionally and on the stream, you can hear the music. That is Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk? It is one of the seminal begging songs in our history. There are others. There are lists. You just type in best R&B begging songs. You're going to have a list.
Begging, yearning.
Yearning. R&B is about yearning, certainly. And I'm only playing it because of the report that we've got NBA decision makers leaving voice memos for Rich Paul so he can play for LeBron. It's a trap. Why would you do this? If you are an... What are you... Like, Bob Myers showed up on a podcast to do some begging, and he is...
Showed his face.
While he's not the official GM of the Sixers, he helps out Josh Harris, the owner, with several sports franchises. He is in the midst of trying to build the Sixers team, and he went on the Rich Paul podcast to convince Rich Paul, well, LeBron through Rich Paul, why the Sixers are a good spot for him. If you're Kobe Altman, the Cleveland GM, if you're Pat Riley or Spoelstra, you cannot be in the dock when Rich Paul plays the voice memos for LeBron.
If I'm Pat Riley, I'm handing my phone away to someone.
Yeah.
Someone else do it.
Because if we go back...
Let's play bore on the floor to see who does it.
Because if we go back to LeBron's free agency period after he left Miami, Pat Riley flew to Las Vegas to talk to LeBron, and LeBron and his people were just watching World Cup games.
Mm-hmm.
So Pat Riley didn't even have their undivided attention.
Pat Riley.
Put my rings on the table, Pat Riley.
That Pat Riley.
Kobe Altman. You think a voice memo is going to convince LeBron James? What could possibly be said? What could possibly be said in that voice memo from anybody? From Bob Myers to, I think his name is like Mike Ganzi, the Philly GM now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Mike, but it's Ganzi.
It's a Ganzi, right?
Ganzi. I think it's a Y.
Is it a Y? Okay, Ganzi. Whoever it is, what do you say? You cannot be caught telling Rich Paul why LeBron should come to your team. Don't you guys know you don't leave a trail? No audio, paper trail in this case, of this. If you're not having a regular old conversation over the phone or in person, it probably means you don't have a real shot. Like, you can't even talk to LeBron. I get it. The agent's supposed to be the one who keeps the player from the team when you're negotiating contracts. But why is he the go-between when you're trying to talk to the player about why he should play here? And let's be honest, with all of this, I don't think any convincing need is being really listened to. Either he already has his mind made up, or he will make up his mind, and nothing you say in a voice memo is going to change that.
No.
Nothing. This is for the doc. He's going to be able to play, insert Philadelphia decision maker, or Minnesota, or Golden State. If you are a name we know because you've been in the game for a long time, you cannot be a person who leaves a voice memo. It's got to be your assistant. And maybe LeBron would find that disrespectful, but look, Pat Riley's done a lot of things, a lot of great things on the NBA level, certainly in, with basketball as a whole, from the Lakers to the Knicks to the Heat. It wipes off 25% of it if I hear him in a voice memo. Not completely. He's done too much. Mm-hmm. But if I hear a voice memo from Pat Riley, 25% of your accomplishments out the door.
Yeah.
Out the door. Kobe Altman, you don't have enough accomplishments to make a voice memo because anything you've done positive gets wiped away. You cannot be heard on this. I don't know the level of executive that I will accept. It can't be a GM. If you're a GM of, like, if Rafael Stone is heard on a voice memo, get out of here. You know what Dennis Schroeder was right about then and now. No structure.
Yeah. No, what can you possibly say in a voice memo that's not already been taken account in the Rich Paul whiteboard that also was shown during one of these episodes?
If the Mavericks guy calls him, I heard you like oil.
Yeah, oil, golf. What's that? I can't even really read this handwriting. Cooper Flagg's not on.
Didn't even mention their most prized asset. Maybe he wants to really. Maybe Clay, although people think he may get cut, and some team will pick him up on a buyout.
That's some real nostalgia from LeBron.
Yeah, I remember you knocking down threes in my face. So I'm sure people are being very earnest, and they've been convinced by Clutch that this is something that'll work. There's no chance. If LeBron even hears them, all they're doing is laughing.
Yeah.
Like, and how long are these memos? Are they 5 minutes? Are they 10? Or is it just a quick hello to note interest? Nothing you're going to say on that memo is going to mean anything.
No. No. Hey, LeBron. Hey, Rich. Hope you pass this along.
I don't think they respect the yearning. Like, if they've got you in a spot where you can beg and plead, they don't respect that. Like,
yeah, no.
There's no chance that's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, if you sound like Tevin Campbell singing to this unnamed girl about LeBron, there's no way it works for you.
You sound like the titular Stan in Eminem song Stan.
No one likes desperation.
Hey, LeBron, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling.
There's a reason for that.
Like, there's a reason for that. Charlotte GM.
Yeah. I know you got rid of LaMelo, but you're still Charlotte.
Yeah, Matt Ishbia. I got your message.
Yes, your phone is working. My phone is working. We got it. It went through. It's just not going to work. So now, if they promise me that the voice memos will be a part of this doc they're filming, I'm in. I'm not going
to
watch
it. Just to humiliate them.
Just to find out who humiliated themselves.
Yeah.
In a desperate attempt to secure a 41-year-old who's still a good player. But let's remember, he's 41 years old.
Yeah.
Anyone who acquires him is acquiring, at least if they have championship aspirations, their third or fourth best player. Like, if LeBron is one of your top two players, you're not winning a title.
No. Looking at these teams, I am referencing the whiteboard because they do have the primary players on the. I mean, Philly's the only one that you can like squint and be like, yeah, that could be a pretty nasty team if you drop LeBron on it. But like the rest of these, just like
and Philly has their own issues.
Yeah. Oh,
that we know
100%.
About. Yeah.
Part of it is that Embiid is on this whiteboard, like he plays every game. Not it should be like. Embiid, but parentheses 30 games. Like that should
for the
should
30 be, games that you yeah, have together, you could be
awesome.
very nasty team.
Yeah, I don't know. Then it's like Miami, who's like
And then you throw in they got a great coach, and who knows what Spo will cook up.
But also like Davion Mitchell is one of the four names written down.
Yeah, I mean he's been a better player since he got there, but yeah. This is what we're talking about, and it's for a 41-year-old who is simply trying to humiliate you, and you don't know it.
I can't wait for this documentary. I haven't anticipated a documentary this much ever.
Like Shams did the reporting, as Tevin Campbell says goodbye. Shams did the reporting And he mentioned that I have no indication that Miami and Cleveland have sent them voice notes. Yeah, because those are two he's seriously considering.
Yeah, no bleep.
Dude. They're not. And one of them is run by Pat Riley. And I don't think LeBron would force, because he has a good buddy inside their front office. He's not going to have those two organizations do it. It's going to be for the teams who really don't have any shot. Like, yeah. I don't know if Charlotte is actually involved, but it's a good pull. It'll be teams of that nature who are on the outside looking in. Tim Connolly, have some self-respect, man. You built the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah. And even
if you are in Minnesota trading for LaMelo Ball, don't be a part of the voice memo conglomerate.
There's nothing that you can say that's better than what's on this.
Yeah, just look at our roster.
It says Ant LaMelo. It just says Melo. There's another Melo, LeBron. LaMelo, McDaniel, and Gobert. That's it.
And then Chris Finch may be able to sell you and whatever, but that should be the conversation.
Hey, the winners aren't that bad. And it's like, well, now I'm thinking about how bad the winners are.
Yeah, don't say that bad.
I can play in Miami instead.
So,
golf? Put golf next to Miami.
Certainly a thing he wants to do.
Yeah, no oil, though, which is unfortunate. It's actually tough for the rest of it. Depends how much LeBron loves oil. He might go to Dallas.
Yeah.
It is the first bullet point under Dallas.
It is.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
It is an interesting pull for Rich Paul to mention oil when he's talking about the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know. Maybe there's a way in for LeBron into the oil and energy sector. I don't know.
There is, but why does he have to play for the Mavericks to do
He doesn't have to be in Dallas to do it. That's correct.
What, he's LeBron want to be a James. Landman? Like,
he loved Jerry Jones being himself in that monologue from season one.
It'd be so great if LeBron's in Landman wearing a cowboy hat. Sitting next to Billy Bob at the bar.
It's all about who the creator likes as an NBA team. If he loves himself some LeBron, or maybe he's an MJ guy and it'll never happen. You never know. Who does Taylor Sheridan root for in the NBA?
I'm looking up Taylor Sheridan.
Does he have an NBA team? All right, we'll go to break.
From North Carolina.
So maybe Charlotte does have a chance. But if he's from North Carolina, he's probably more college basketball.
I'll look
into
it.
And the Hornets have ruined the NBA for him. All right, we'll go to break. We're one segment away from Michael Carroll joining us. You can call in 713-780-3776. And while you're contemplating calling in, contemplate this or pray. Pray that the people who run your favorite NBA team don't wind up in that dock for this reason that we just laid out. It's embarrassing. All right, we'll go to break. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This is our final couple minutes before we get to Michael Carroll. He'll be here, the host of Comicast, to give you what he likes. Maybe not put it that way, because sometimes he doesn't watch things because it's not of his interest, but he'll tell you what's being reviewed well, what's out there. So I'll put it this way. He'll give you some recs, and you can decide whether you like it or not. And he'll certainly tell you some things he doesn't like as well. So what did we do? We found out that the Texans are interested in Terrion Arnold.
Yep.
They had him work out through the testifying of his agent. His agent in Florida told the court, because they were trying to the prosecutor, at least the state attorney, wanted Terrion Arnold to wear a tracker on his ankle, or at least just a GPS tracker. His agent said testified why that shouldn't be the case. And one of the reasons was, hey, the Texans worked him out. There's some interest there. Adam Schefter reported today that the Texans, among others, are interested. And Arnold had a physical with the Texans yesterday. So they are looking at cornerback depth from someone who has a really serious court case ahead. Multiple felony charges for Terrion Arnold.
Just kidnapping and robbery. Yeah.
Sean is someone who is swayed by talent. And the talent the talent of Terry Arnold, at least the perceived talent, because he hasn't been a good NFL player.
Not yet.
No.
Get him in our system, though.
Well, that didn't work for Okuda or Henderson, so let's try it again. And let's hope to ignore that other thing hovering over Terry Arnold. And then just have him sign with the Texans, and all will be fine.
We need Terry Arnold to have a really good lawyer.
Or you can just find a corner who doesn't have this hanging over their head. They could have drafted one.
I mean, he'll...
The numbers say he wasn't that good.
Yeah, but I'm looking at numbers saying that he was.
Oh, we got different numbers. Okay.
Yeah, he was a 5-star.
Oh, in high school?
26.
Davis Mills was a 5-star too, Sean.
26th ranked player in the country. Committed to Alabama.
Yes.
I forgot.
How many
Nick
years?
Nick Saban doesn't know how to coach cornerbacks.
Well,
I forgot.
Nick Saban has written a letter to attest to Terry Arnold being a good person.
I'm standing with Nick Saban and Terry Arnold. Stay on that side, Dale. You want to lock this guy up in jail forever.
Did I say that? Sean showing his allyship. So
yeah.
We all know.
Yeah.
That Sean is a good person.
And Dell standing up for the Florida penal
system. I didn't say anything about whether he was guilty or not. This is more about the Texans and perhaps maybe getting away from potentially another failed first round pick like they did last year when they decided that Henderson and Okuda were viable options, and then neither one of them were real contributors. I just want to avoid that scenario again where they decide, hey, let's pick up a first rounder off the scrap heap. Put time, not that money, but put time and money into them and then realize, oh, wait, they're not very good.
Yeah.
That's all.
I get it. I'm also looking at Tremont Smith and Jalen Smith.
There's a reason they brought him in for a workout, and that's my problem.
Elijah Huzzy.
Maybe if you had addressed it differently before this point, on July 9th when they had him work out, maybe you wouldn't be in a situation where you were hoping. You got to believe they were hoping that the agent wouldn't reveal.
No, they definitely were hoping that this would. They don't want to be in the headline involved with Terry and Arnold. And there's three other teams, but they're definitely the most interested.
They brought him in for a workout and had a physical.
The other teams just reached out to his agent.
To show some interest.
Yeah.
The agent was able to cite the Texans while she was under oath. something that they don't want as part of the program. They don't want that sentence that I just uttered to be a thing.
How many times have the Texans come up in court documents?
Recently? More than you think.
Yeah.
When you throw in Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson.
More than
they like, actually.
True.
Recently. So
Renegade program that Cal McNair's running.
I loved my Renegade program growing up. Texans haven't reached the same type of success.
No, they really need to work on that. They really need. And the first step?
Signing a cornerback.
A 5-star from Florida.
They have a 5-star quarterback on their roster.
Yeah.
He's their backup. That's how much depth they have. So much talent. On offense.
This guy can't even see the field. He's a 5-star.
It's true. Davis Mills.
He does see the field,
but they don't want him to.
Like 3 games a season.
The 19th rated prospect in high school when Davis Mills came out.
Oof.
So higher than Terry Arnold.
Yeah.
Other news. Yordan has been told by the Astros they're not trading him, no matter what happens. Now, I don't know who told him that, because will that person have a job at the end of the season? Who's to say? But someone told Yordan he's not going anywhere. So despite the muckraking of Lance Zierlein, Yordan will remain an Astro for the foreseeable future, which may not be a great thing if we consider he will eventually be gone. But that's for the distant future, when he's like 32.
Yeah.
Right now he's 29. You don't have to worry about it so much if they keep him around.
I do kind of think that we are getting a little ahead of ourselves.
It's 2 years away after this season.
Yeah, I don't know. But
it got to Yordan to the point where he asked.
Yeah, because our social media reach is so large that Yordan is just trying to enjoy some time scrolling IG reels, and he gets Lance with
mouthing off.
Yeah, with food in his mouth, saying that he should get traded.
Well, here's a clue for Yordan. If the man stating you should be traded has granola falling out of his mouth, don't take him seriously. One Lance Zierlein. All right. We're going to break because Michael Carroll will join us when we come back. A more serious professional will join us to talk about what you should or shouldn't see in
zero
movies.
Granola will be in his mouth.
Yeah, that feels,
I guarantee it.
Feels very unlikely. Almost a definite no. He will not have remnants of granola bar in his mouth as he talks to you about the best or worst in movies and television. We'll get to Michael Carroll of Comicast when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us, the host of Comicast. You can hear that podcast that he does with John Lee wherever you listen to podcasts, and they have special guests as well. The latest issue is on House of the Dragon episode 3, X-Men 97 season 2, so a couple series I'm certainly interested in, and they have spoiler reviews, so we won't get in depth into those shows because maybe you haven't seen up to the point that, or at least where they are and where I've seen them and Michael's seen them. But if you have and you want to hear more in-depth conversations about them, go to Comicast, which you, as I said, can hear wherever you listen to podcasts and also generally here on Wednesday nights on ESPN. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
All that Leah. Talk about how professional you are. That's an added bonus to listening.
You're welcome.
That's an added bonus to listening to Lance, the clearing of the throat and coughing.
I just love food at times when I'm on the radio.
I just love food. Well, it happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it is played off as, hey, I have to eat right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right now. The one thing you have not done is take a phone call in the middle of talking on the mic.
Somebody call me.
You haven't done that yet. So Michael Carroll doing his best Lance.
And I try.
And really, anyone's best Lance is just the worst of anyone else because it's Lance.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, wait. Excuse me one more time.
It is like PTSD.
Yeah,
I don't need more of it.
You don't want more?
An extra 30 minutes.
Yeah, I get it. 3 hours a day, 5 days.
Well,
a week.
I thought you just needed a refresher.
You didn't
it's been
take
a while.
You don't take it from my tone that I don't appreciate either one of them very much.
No, I mean I thought you maybe.
Nah,
no,
I'm okay. Good. I'm good. I want Michael Carroll. I don't want Michael Carroll being Lance Zierlein.
Gotcha.
I don't like Lance being Lance. Eric, we see you. We'll get to you here. But Michael, tell the people. I kind of laid it out.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Give an overview of your thoughts on those two series I mentioned.
Yeah, House of the Dragon episode 3, season 3 episode 3. Jong and I talked about it a lot, and we were both very high on that episode as it was a more Rhaenyra POV focused episode. And I mean, for one, it's just a phenomenal episode where. Jong and I brought it up how the music is such a big part of that whole episode in keeping you on the edge, because it's not like there's a ton of action in this latest episode. It's just a series of conversation. There's this problem. Hey, where are we going to get this food from? Where are we going to get this from? Where are we going to get that from? But it kept me engaged throughout and kept me on the edge a lot, of course, with Emma Darcy's performance, but also with the music that they used. It was a very, very good episode. And then, of course, X-Men 97. At the time of our recording, we only had watched the first three episodes. Episode 4 came out the day after. The first three, it's like it hadn't missed a beat at all. Season 2 has been tremendous. And then, have you watched episode 4?
I have not. Not yet.
Whew. We got another banger episode.
Episode 4 was the second part of a two-parter, right?
Yes.
I saw episode 1 episode 3 part 1 of, and it ended on a cliffhanger, so I'll watch the I guess is that the conclusion of that story arc? Actually, don't give it away. Never mind.
Well, I'll just say it's not, I mean, not really. It's just more of a game changer, I would say. But it's a phenomenal episode and highlights why X-Men 97 is such a standout because it doesn't treat the audience, how can I say it? It's not like trying to just do all these animated action fights or anything. Like, these are character-driven animated stories that are being told with some of the more, I mean, fleshed out superheroes that are out there, right? And of course, this episode is focused on Magneto, Professor X, and of course, Rogue and Beast and Nightcrawler and all that. So what they're able to do in showcasing elements of the comic but translate it very well to the screen is just excellent. And the animation's incredible. It's very good. And as others have said, episode 4 might be the best so far.
I thought it was really fun that with the X-Force centric episode, they had new credits.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the X-Force, so that was fun.
And apparently the intro will change for almost every episode of this season this year. So
the music remains the same. So if you love that, and it's a little updated too, but if you love the traditional X-Men animated series music, that is there with a little tuning. So it's still nostalgic when you hear it.
Jong and I talked about it, how there's nothing quite like when the X-Men start like getting into the action and that music hits. Oh, perfect.
They should take away the skip intro version. 100%. Like when the little window pops up on Disney in this case, where it's like skip intro. Get that out.
Well, yeah, what are we talking about?
Who clicks that?
It's
communists?
Commies again. The X-Men 97 and House of the Dragon, I mean, right now, they're both intros that I just don't skip. I think they're both.
It sets the tone.
Sets the tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that there's many other shows that I would ever, like, typically, I'm skipping the intro. I see it once, I'm good.
Well, yeah, after I see it the first time, it's generally, let me get to the next episode.
But even if the X-Men 97 intro didn't change, I'd be like, no, I'm in. I'm in.
If it came on shuffle mode, I'd listen to driving home.
100%.
If you want more in-depth conversations about those TV shows and their most recent episodes on Comicast right now, you can find that conversation with Jong Lee and Michael Carroll. Let's get to Eric. We'll take his call, and then we'll get into some of the things you may or may not want to watch this weekend. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. I heard it through the grapevine that the main villain in Batman 2 is going to be Victor Freeze. Also, I heard a great man as well that Jim Carrey might be the new Freddy Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street. And I know the new trailer for Godzilla Minus One dropped today. It looks pretty good. I just want your thoughts on that. Have a great weekend. I'll hang up with you. Oh, yeah, one more thing. I heard they're making a Toxic Avenger 2 for that great movie that came out a few years ago. I'll hang up with you.
Eric's now in a vineyard, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. So he continues, another thing he continues to do beyond the Toxic Avenger thing is to mention Victor Freeze, better known as Mr. Freeze, as a villain in the Batman 2, which is something we didn't really believe because of the world that Matt Reeves has set. It would be interesting to see if or how he could work the character of Mr. Freeze into a movie that's so grounded. Yeah. And I have yet to see what Eric's talking about. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that either. The only way I could see Victor Freeze being introduced in this is him before the transformation, right? Before he gets stuck into the whole suit, or
him with a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Victor Freeze. This is my wife.
Yeah. Both of them being like, hello, how are you? Yeah, exactly.
Well, cold one we're having today.
Yeah. If there's a giant cryogenic tube anywhere, not happening.
Anyway,
Batman,
see you later, Bruce.
Yeah, it would be something like
just
that.
Just a pop in,
100%. But yeah, I don't know about Victor Freeze popping up in Batman Part 2. I don't know about this Jim Carrey, Freddy Krueger thing. This is the first I've heard of it, because to my understanding, I thought he's only doing Sonic movies.
Not tapped into the grapevine. Yeah.
I'm not in that vineyard.
This is this, who was the was it Jim Carrey? Was it Nicolas Cage? Who was in one of the Kick-Ass movies?
Nick Cage.
It was, yeah. Nick Cage. Okay, I don't remember. Was it him or Carrey who talked about the violence in a movie and why he didn't want to be a part of that universe? Maybe it was Nick Cage. I don't remember. But yeah, I don't see Jim Carrey doing anything but the Sonic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about like he retired, but then like Sonic pulled him back in. So Sonic movies are like his thing. I don't know if he has anything.
Yeah,
in the
Jim
works
Carrey was in Kick-Ass.
Oh,
that's
what
I thought. He was. He played.
I remember that.
Like a gun-toting older vigilante.
Oh, I thought,
or maybe he had a bat. I don't remember what he had, but he pushed back on the violence in his own movie. Oh. So I was like, I couldn't see him ever being Freddy Krueger. That stance was made public like 13 years ago. Kick-Ass 2 has been out for a very long time now, but he wasn't someone I would ever imagine that, because he's pushed back so hard against the violence
and
in that movie.
He did do, and this may have been pre all that as well, but he did do that movie 23, I think it was, where he's like a serial killer or something like that. Yes. I don't know if y'all.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah. So I never saw that movie, so I can't speak to it.
I think it's
much,
even older than Kick-Ass.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Print sequel in the works. Starring Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, they did announce
that. He's picking up the mantle.
That's another one where I was like, I thought he hated doing all that. Like, I know he enjoyed the movie, but I also know, like, that was a lot to do all that.
Enjoyed the paycheck, that's
true. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You know what? Money supersedes. Godzilla Minus One, though?
I know the trailer's out. I haven't seen it yet, though.
That trailer is very good. I can't wait for that movie. It looks incredible. I love the first one, so I'm very much excited for when the second one releases in November.
Yeah, it was a fun movie fun's probably not the right word. It was entertaining and well done, I'll say that about Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, it's not what the American version has become.
Not at all.
Where it's just superheroes.
It wasn't
in a
creature
sense.
Fights, yeah.
Yeah, it's not creature fights or anything like that. It goes back to the idea that, yeah, Godzilla's more of a representation of destruction in the world and all that. And just, well, go read about Godzilla and the origins of Godzilla.
Hand wave from Sean.
Give me the one where he fights King Kong. Give me the one. And then give
That's
me the other
next
one.
Year.
Then give me the other one when he fights with King Kong on the same side.
And he fights a robot Godzilla.
Robot Godzilla. Yeah.
Then
the Monkey King Scar.
Scar King.
Yeah. Supernova out next year.
Yeah. Supernova, where he's going to probably fight a space Godzilla or something like that.
There we go. Yeah. Come on. Get on our level.
I mean, Japan. Godzilla has this history with Godzilla where it did start off as more of a metaphor for,
sure,
obviously, the nuclear bomb.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it became him fighting just everybody. just all sorts of monsters.
Oh, you're trying to teach me a lesson? How about this lesson? I like when things fight each other.
Yeah. Big monkey versus big lizard.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
That's how you make $1 billion.
Yeah.
See, King Kong stuffed that tree down Godzilla's throat again.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Allegory. F out of here.
This is Godzilla plus one. And that plus one
is Kong.
Is King MF and Kong.
Is it time to go to a break?
It actually
Can we go
is.
To a break?
It is.
It actually is. Yeah.
I was not expecting Godzilla plus one. I was not prepared for that.
Well, I mean, call it minus one.
Minus zero this time around.
Now you got Godzilla minus zero, yeah.
Yeah, now you got plus one. So Sean is working in there, clearly. We'll go to... He's maybe a little delirious. He hasn't had his Cliff Bar yet. You never know.
I'm fiending for it. Actually had half of it.
Okay, so
you want
can't
some granola?
Because I'm not eating on air.
Somehow you avoided that. When we come back, we'll try to be as professional as Sean with more from Michael Carroll.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We're back here with Michael Carroll, host of Comicast, a podcast he hosts with John Lee. Okay, so we got a big movie coming out next weekend I was talking to you about. But what about for this weekend? Anything people should go see?
I thought you were talking about the big one this weekend.
No.
We're
talking about the Odyssey in the break. What about this weekend?
This weekend, I'm going to start off with something I think you probably should skip, and it's the latest Disney live-action remake, Moana.
Where they digitally remove the rock's nipples?
You beat me to it. Yeah, exactly. I did not realize they did that, but they Yeah, they did.
Apparently,
that.
Mammals in Disney movies can't have nipples.
No, can't do it. So
even walking human beings, they're mammals, so no nipples for you.
Yeah, no nipples. So
in live action too.
In live action,
why not? You can, why
don't put nipples on
a drawing? Because you can just draw them without them. Whatever. Yeah. But like Dwayne the Rock Johnson has nipples.
But so how many times is someone shirtless in a Disney movie? You don't know that. There's no proof. Oh yeah, there's proof. He's the Rock.
He's the Rock. He's shirtless.
He's shirtless all the time.
I beg of the interns right now to please pull Sean saying Dwayne Johnson has nipples.
I mean,
he does.
He's just
speaking the truth.
It's not wrong.
How many times is a human?
I'm not denying it.
How many times has a human man, because it would, of course, never be a woman, how many times has a human man shown his nipples in a Disney movie? Or even given the opportunity to?
I have to guess zero.
Animation, zero. Live action, 100%. There's been at least one.
But then they
slip in a Disney movie?
Then they've removed the nipples?
No, it's only because of Maui.
What do you mean?
Because Dwayne Johnson's character is
shirtless.
Is shirtless.
That's what I'm saying. How many times has a man been shirtless in a Disney movie?
Eric wasn't shirtless in The Little Mermaid. Or actually, I didn't see the live action.
Or the live. Yeah, because
I was going to say, how do we know?
This is how I have to watch all these live action remakes to look for male nipples?
If you want to.
I don't.
I think Mulan, the live action of Mulan, because there's the armor and
stuff. And were his nipples removed?
No. No nipples were removed in that one.
No nipples were removed in the making of this movie. Of this morally creatively bankrupt live action
but
remake.
But they wanted to capture the magic of the animated version by removing him for Maui in this one.
I'll make a man without nipples out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Because they wanted to showcase the tattoos and everything. So
okay.
Go for it, guys.
So
is this movie good?
No.
Not according to people who have seen it.
It's so weird because, like, in a lot of the live action ones, you would think they would at least change a little bit, like something. They don't change anything.
No, it's beat for beat.
It's beat for beat. Like, they move one song, but it's like the best song from the original one. Also, the original one came out 2016. The sequel came out 2 years ago. Why are we doing a live action movie?
Who's asking for it is what you're
saying.
Who's
asking? Like, it's one thing if you do. What was it? Because I was trying to look it up. Like, Beauty and the Beast, it's like 30 years, 50 years, whatever it's been. You know, different ones. It's like, I get it. I get why you would do that. But this movie's only been out for like a decade.
Who are you making it for?
Who are you making it for? And I think that's the point that a lot of folks that have seen the movie are pointing out is, who is this for? Is this for the animated, the people that enjoy the animated movie? Well, just watch the animated movie. Save money this weekend. Don't go to the theater. Just watch the animated movie.
You'll have a better time.
You'll have a better time. Won't cost like an arm and a leg and all that. So
you're not going to see nipples anyway. So might as well.
Exactly. And
what's the Venn diagram for people who love Moana but only want to see the live version because they thought they were going to see the Rock's nipples?
It's a very small Venn diagram.
I think now that this story is out there,
it's grown a lot.
I think someone's going to buy a ticket and at least keep an eye out.
Somebody's listening right now. You know, I never thought of that.
Hey, I'm going to have to take my kid to this anyway. I've seen this movie 1,000 times on the animated version on Disney Plus, paying whatever, $18 a month.
Don't listen to your kids this time.
Might as well. I have to sit in this room next to my kid. Might as well look for the Rock.
Disregard
nipples.
Your kid's desire to go watch this one and just watch the animated one for 1,000. In one time, because you know, it's the same movie. Like, what are we
and
doing?
And clearly won't be as good. But critics have told us.
Critics are like 36% right now. Yeah. So it's not good. So skip it. No disrespect to a lot of the actors that are in it, because they are good. Like, the music's good. But I will say, Dwayne Johnson apparently phoned in his performance.
What?
So. I know, it's shocking. I know. No. Oscars, come on. But not the Smashing Machine himself. Smashing Machine. Yeah, no, not so much. But skip Moana this weekend. Maybe go watch, if you're a horror fan, it's already been a strong year for horror. Go watch Evil Dead Burn, the latest in the Evil Dead franchise. Now, I will say one of the things that's come up a lot about this movie is that it is unrelenting in its violence and gore. To a point where some are like, I
They had the checkout?
Like, they're checking out to a certain extent. Because some are fans that did finish it, but were also like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. So, you know, be aware of that going in if you do want to watch Evil Dead Burn this weekend. 72% with critics right now. And you don't have to have seen, it's unnecessary to do homework viewing beforehand. You can appreciate it as a standalone.
Yeah. Because people are going to get skinned alive or whatever.
Yeah.
No matter what. You don't need to watch
it. Yeah, you don't need to watch it. But this is the sixth movie in the Evil Dead franchise. But like, and there is lore to it, but you don't have to know it to appreciate it. Probably the strongest release this weekend is The Invite with Olivia Wilde, Seth Rogen, Edward Norton, Penelope Cruz. It's just the four of them for the entire duration of the movie. And it's set only in one apartment. Outside of the opening scene, the entirety of the movie is told in this one apartment. This one is, I would say, is more specific to cinephiles and probably couples and just folks that are looking for something a little different in terms of their entertainment. I watched it last week and it's good, but it's one of those that I was like, I'm good at having watched it once. I don't need to see it again. I didn't love the ending either of where things landed on it, but you know, it's well written and you know, it'll work for some people out there. So that's out there for folks. It's getting 96% with critics, 95% with audiences. So folks who want to check that out this weekend, you probably want to see that one. Since we're running close on time, I'll just jump to streaming. The Little House on the Prairie season one is out. I know y'all are very excited. Very
excited. Big fan of the original.
Big fan of the originals. Well, if you're like the audience right now, who are kind of review bombing it because it's not the original. It's not 1974's Little House on the Prairie. But it's getting solid reviews so far, 75% with critics, who describe it as a better adaptation in understanding the history of the time period as well. So it's a little bit more nuanced than what you would expect. Because I thought when Netflix got the IP, they were just like, just slap the IP on it and just do whatever. But there's a little bit more to it than that. So you have that this weekend. The rest of these are not really what I would necessarily go out and watch. The Five Star Weekend on Peacock, all eight episodes of that are available right now with Jennifer Garner, Gemma Chan, Regina Hall, Chloe Savini, and D'Arcy Corden. It's a, I don't know, it's a girls' trip, like basically.
Wow.
It's a girls' trip.
Wow.
I don't know. It's just not my movie.
They're all the same, huh?
Nope.
All these movies
are the same. I wouldn't necessarily watch it.
I'm just saying it's like that. That's all.
So far we've gotten Moana shot for shot remake.
Oh no. Yeah.
We got Little House on the Prairie remake.
Yeah.
And we got basically Girls Trip
but
from Michael Caron.
In series form.
Yeah.
In series form. I've always wanted to spend more time on this Girls Trip.
Trying season 5 is out there for folks. Honestly, had no idea this series existed until
I've seen a couple episodes. It's about a couple trying to have a child. She's had some fertility issues. I think it winds up, they wind up choosing the adoption route and the process of doing that.
Yeah.
Hijinks and hilarity ensues.
It's,
they have English accents that might either help or hurt your thoughts on it. But, yeah, the first couple episodes were fun,
yeah.
But it's been out for a while now, so I didn't really get back to it.
Yeah, I mean, season 5 premiered this past Wednesday, 100% right now with critics. Might be something worth a watch. MGM Plus, for folks that have that, I don't. I know you do, Del.
I do, yeah.
There's The Westies premiering on Sunday night at 8 Central, starring J.K. Simmons, Titus Welliver, and possibly the new Batman, Tom Brittany.
So if you got Bosch, who else is in it?
J.K. Simmons.
So we've got Bosch, J. Jonah Jameson, and possibly the new Batman.
Mm-hmm. 1980s Hell's Kitchen.
That's how I work my mind around trying to watch this show. Yeah,
It's mob story, crime drama. So you got that this weekend. First two episodes premiere Sunday at 8 Central.
Thank you, Michael Carroll.
Thank you.
He's the host of Comicast. Listen to that podcast he does with John Lee. Listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. We're done for the week. Sean's got one day next week, and then it's vacation time for Sean. So don't miss
out. The Rock mailed in his performance.
Yeah, well.
Get a load of meat on Monday.
Don't miss out on Sean's worst performance ever before he goes on vacation. So join us on Monday. But before that, enjoy your weekend. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
He would eat a salchicha while talking into a microphone. That's just who he is. That is one Lance Zierlein. We will talk to you on Monday.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.